Sometimes you can tell where a person is from by the way they talk. And there's a new book exploring the phrases and accents that you hear in the Midwest and nowhere else. Author Edward McClelland considers these regionalisms in his newest effort, How to Speak Midwestern. Scott Wohl talked with Edward McClelland. Does he mean for the book to be comical or academic or both? What?
Well, Mark, you will laugh at times when you're reading How to Speak Midwestern, but Edward McClelland tells me he took the project quite seriously.
I think one of the first people who read it said it would appeal to people who are looking for the intellectual or the linguistic underpinnings of Midwestern speech, but also for a general audience who wants to be entertained. And I tried to work some ethnography and history into the definitions. So I suppose how to understand Midwestern might be a more accurate description of what I was trying to accomplish. It's kind of hard to fake an accent, although many actors try it.
In your book, you cite some general rules for speaking Midwestern, and I'd like to go through them briefly. There are things like talk through your nose, draw out your R's, omit vowels, mispronounce foreign names, a couple I really like, pop, not soda. I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
And say, you guys.
Sure. Those are all good ones.
Now, there's one that we want to spend a moment talking about, though, and that is when you're criticizing someone or something, you do so passive-aggressively. This might bring people to mind of Minnesota Nice. But
exactly.
Is that part of it, though?
Yeah. Well, I can read you the passage here.
Sure.
And if you must criticize, do so passive-aggressively. It's been said that in New York, every insult is a compliment. In the South, on the other hand, every compliment is an insult. Well, aren't you kind? In the Midwest, you're never certain whether you're being complimented or insulted. Midwesterners don't like to sound critical or hurt anyone's feelings, so we've developed code words that allow us to avoid stating an opinion altogether. The most important words to know are interesting and different. If something has merit, but you don't personally care for it, it's interesting. What do you think of the Vikings' new stadium? It's interesting. Or what do you think of that mural under the Wilson Avenue viaduct of three dolphins making love with the Queen of the Nile? And it's pretty different. And later on in the book, I talk about a New York Times article about the movie Fargo and the reaction to it in Minnesota. And the author quoted an older gentleman coming out of the movie and saying, well, that was different, which is probably about the most damning review you can get in the Midwest.
I'm glad you brought up Fargo. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Fargo. You spent some time in Minnesota doing some research, including a conversation with Larissa Coconut. She's a native Minnesotan, and she's
right
in Fargo. She plays a prostitute in the movie. Off-screen, though, she also worked with star Frances McDormand on her accent for the film. I'm going to play a clip from that scene, and a heads up here for listeners. There's an anatomical reference here that could require explaining to a younger listener.
Okay. I want you to tell me what these fellas looked like.
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
In what way?
I don't know, just funny looking.
Can you be any more specific?
I couldn't really say. He wasn't circumcised.
Was he funny looking apart from that?
Yeah.
They sort of exaggerated the forwardness of the Minnesota accent for comic relief in the movie. They like the contrast of you know, these very nice, agreeable people and the dark side of the story, all the murders that were going on. I'll tell you what she said about working with Frances McDormand. We talked about nodding, being agreeable, and wanting agreement. It's that Norwegian thing of, we're not going to get through these winters without working together. And then the O sounds like a no. We talked about the musicality of it going back to Norwegian and then how it flattens out a bit. It's very forward. It comes out of the top of the mouth. We talked about the ya, because the ya lives in the same place. So when I went to Brainerd, I didn't hear anybody who you could really say had a Fargo accent. But then when I listened to oral histories in the county historical society, you could definitely hear older people who did talk that way.
We're talking with Edward McClelland about his new book, How to Speak Midwestern. People like you and me who grew up in Michigan, we, of course, don't have an accent, right?
That's what all Michiganders want to believe. I actually had a linguistics professor who got his degree at the University of Michigan, and he made that point distinctly, is that people in Michigan think they don't have an accent. And they were very confused as to why he was doing this linguistic research on the way they talked. But he was researching the northern cities' vowel shift. Studying that is actually what led me to write the entire book. And that's a change in vowel pronunciation, which is said to be the most significant change in English vowel pronunciation in 1,000 years, and which is heard sort of along the lower Great Lakes from Rochester, New York to Milwaukee. And some of the signature sounds, which you will hear all over Michigan, are things like the word C-A-N sounds like can, a raised A, the word B-O-X comes out sounding like box, which is called a fronted O, and then S-E-V-E-N can come out sounding like southern. So there are vowels that are sort of all shifting into different positions throughout the spectrum of vocabulary. And it's made Michigan's speech distinctive enough so that it was actually parodied on Saturday Night Live. 20 years ago, there was a skit called 1-600-Lansing about a phone sex line for men who just love women with nasal Michigan accents.
Hey, my name's Barbara.
Hi, Barbara, this is Merrick.
Hey, thank God for spring, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Merrick, let's get started.
Oh, yeah.
How often is Lansing ever mentioned on Saturday Night Live?
Not often.
Right. So I think that there was a time when Midwestern speech was sort of considered standard American English. This was in the 20s, and there was a professor at Hiram College in Ohio who put together a pronunciation guide for NBC. And of course, since he was in the Midwest, he thought Midwestern speech should be the standard. And one of the things that he established that really has become part of standard American English was using your R's. You can go back and hear old newsreels or old actors where they're dropping their R's, which is called non-roticity. And he said, always pronounce your R's. And so that sort of affected mid-Atlantic accent that you'd hear people like Katharine Hepburn or William F. Buckley or George Plimpton use has really gone out of style. And now it's pretty standard to say all your R's.
We need to speak a moment about the distinctive way that people in Michigan's Upper Peninsula talk, eh?
Sure. Yeah.
You call it Youpanese.
Well, you know, Youper is actually a pretty recent term, a very recent vintage. It only dates back to the late 70s, and I think as the Upper Peninsula became more connected to the rest of the state and the rest of the country, people wanted a word that expressed their distinctive identity. So in 1979, the Escanaba Daily Press held a contest to name the inhabitants of the UP, and Youper was the winning entry. And I think a couple of reasons why speech there is so distinctive is, number one, it was so geographically isolated, and number two, because it was settled by Finns who spoke. Finnish is a language that's completely unrelated to English. It's not even Indo-European. So they had a harder time switching into English than other immigrant groups would have. You know the movie Escanaba Into Moonlight?
Sure.
Then there's that comic band, the Youpers, and saying instead of the is actually common in places where there's a lot of immigration because TH is a pretty unique to English. Very few languages have the TH sound. And it's a major player in our language, so when people came over, they had trouble putting their tongue through their teeth and making that sound, so they would just stop at duh or dem or does. And so you'll still hear people in the UP talk like that. Tom Izzo is a Youper speaker, and he has some elements of Youpanese in his speech, but he's been in the Lower Peninsula for so long that unless you're really listening for it, you're probably not going to hear it too much.
Edward McClelland will talk about his new book, How to Speak Midwestern, at Everybody Reads in Lansing, Saturday at 1 p.m., and at the Charlotte Community Library at 6:30 p.m. next Tuesday. Great talking with you again.
You too.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.
And you'll find a few highlights from Edward McClelland's Michigan-based Glossary of Terms in bonus audio at WKAR.org. Coming up on Current State, the world is full of sounds, but how much do we listen to them instead of just hearing them? A retired Michigan State University professor takes us into the woods to listen to what nature has to say. Current State's Kevin Lavery reports on the science of ecoacoustics coming up in a few minutes. And we can't talk about the Upper Peninsula on this final day of firearm deer hunting season without hearing a bit of the second week of Deer Camp by De Youpers. Here they are.
It's the second week of Deer Camp and all the guys are here. We drink, play cards, and shoot the bull, but never shoot no deer. The only time we leave the camp is when we go for beer. The second week of Deer Camp is the greatest time of year.